Welcome back to Summer Breakfast, and thanks to Hume Tennis in Melbourne's north, a mini Melbourne Park it is, and it's currently hosting two international wheelchair tournaments featuring Dylan Alcott and the world's best wheelchair players. Come on down and be inspired. The Australian Open starts next Monday. It's roaring up fast. There's plenty happening, so we've got to stay in touch with this man who's across it all. Brett Phillips, leading tennis commentator, host of the First Serve, of course. Welcome to you, BP.
Yeah, Sammy, good morning. Yeah, if you want to get out and see, if you're in Melbourne today, Dylan Alcott, Sam Schroeder, they're becoming the new rivals. So I think 11 a.m. out at Hume today if you want to see some really good wheelies action. And a big chance Dylan might win another trophy. I think he's going to build another house at the moment because those trophies are just racked up over the years.
He's going to need some more storage, isn't he? It's hard to know where to start. There's tennis happening everywhere and there's matters off court with Novak as well and Bernie Tomic, etc. Maybe we'll start up in Sydney where there were a couple of interesting results up there, BP. Now, the US Open champion Emma Raducanu, she was annihilated last night. What happened?
Yeah, I watched the entirety of that match, Sam, up against Elena Rybakina, who Barty played in the final in Adelaide last week. I mean, she's a strapping girl, absolutely hits it with ferocious speed. And, you know, she's tall, serves big. Like, she was always going to be a difficult opponent. But I think we, that result for Raducanu last year was just a sports story you could never have predicted. One from the absolute clouds. It gives hope to everyone lower ranked that they could do something similar. But for her to then follow up and just become this suddenly a top flight tennis player, I think there was always going to be, you know, one huge step forward and maybe a few steps back. I mean, the reality is she's just turned 19. That result was way above the curve of her, you know, career trajectory. So it's elevated her to a whole new ranking, which gets her into all these big tournaments. But her game very much is still in progress. I mean, she's still a young girl. Last night she had no answers, takes one game. Yeah, you can be a Grand Slam champion, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to just steamroll your way through for the rest of your career. We've seen many peaks and troughs. So I think this year, if she can at least maintain her ranking somewhere in the top 30, top 40 of women's tennis, that'll be a pretty good result. But yeah, it's... Well, she's a target now. Everyone wants to, you know, take that scalp. And she's got Angelique Kerber's former coach, who Torben Bletz is an experienced coach to guide her now. And I think they'll work out things over time this year. But yeah, at least she walked off with a smile last night because she's got a beautiful smile, as we saw at the US Open last year, Sammy. But the expectations, I think, we're going to just curtail.
Brett, let's stay with the on the women's side of things. Who do we see? Obviously, Ash Barty's the hot favourite to win the tournament. I'm having a look at the market for the women's final. Is Naomi Osaka the obvious, according to the market, she is? But is there someone else that you can see jumping up? There's a group of about 10 or 12 girls who are all around third favourite for the final. Is there someone that you can see jumping up from, not from nowhere, but from outside of Barty and Osaka and being a big player in this tournament?
Well, if you look technically... Josh, you know, you got Sabalenka as the number two seed, and she's put herself right in the frame the last 2 years to win a major. But gee, on the back of what we've seen in Adelaide the last 2 weeks, I mean, she was in tears yesterday, hot weather in Adelaide. She dished up 21 double faults, reverted to underarm. She's highly emotional at the best of time. She plays on the edge. But she just absolutely lost her way, lost to a qualifier. So hopefully she'll get to Melbourne now and recover and put herself in contention because she has got the game that is now going deep into the slams. It's all our power, such a contrasting game to Ash. So she has to be in the frame. I think there's a lot of girls very similar there, Josh. I mean, Osaka, there's still the unknown, just the lack of conditioning. Loves a hard court and loves Melbourne, but hasn't played a lot of matches. So I think Ash is... the absolute standard. But I'll tell you, the Coco Gauff's form at the moment is worth noting. Another good win in Adelaide last night. I mean, she's only 17, which is quite remarkable. And she's playing tennis like she's a 27-year-old. So Coco's one I think we keep an eye on at the Australian Open because she's, you know, really striking it well. Looks on top of her game.
Now, Andy Murray looked good. Now, he's a nice romantic topic at the moment, isn't he? As he looks to get back to some of his vintage form. He looked good in Sydney last night. Now, what's he got, EBP? He's got a new racket. He's calling it a more forgiving racket. And I guess tennis snuffies like me would argue why he hasn't always used that. It's got a larger frame and a larger sweet spot. But you'd have a more technical understanding of the reasons behind that.
Well, it's a bit like Federer changed his racket, a year or two ago for that bigger frame. To try and explain it to the layman out there, Sam, I mean, it's...
It's working anyway.
Tennis players get used to a certain racket. They have it since they were a kid, and they're reluctant to change. But obviously, the age that Andy is now and the power of which... he's been forced to deal with at the other end, this younger generation. You're trying to find a racket that can just keep you in points a little more. It's a little hard to explain technically, but the bigger frame just makes sure that he does find that sweet spot a little more, which you want to do because he's not necessarily blowing players off the court, Andy, but he's still got such a great strategic mind of where he is placing balls that makes it difficult to return. So he's still a very smart tennis player who you wouldn't want to be up against at the Australian Open because he knows how to play the game even if the body's not quite what it was, 5-10 years ago.
Now, BP, you forecast this only 24 hours ago. You wondered what the next chapter for our man B, Tomic, would be. It didn't take long. He's had his own little meltdown and written another chapter. Are we ever going to see a consistent level of performance and behaviour from this guy?
No, I think I'm done, Josh. I went out to Kia Arena yesterday because we're all, boys, we all like to have a look and see what's going on. And the crowd was quite enthusiastic with chants before he came out, and they were sort of taking a little bit of the PIWS. But he walked out with a little bit of a spring in his step. About three or four balls into the warm-up, he looked spent. And we thought, this is not a good sign. He kept sort of trying to take his pulse. So, and the heat was right on Kia Arena, and there was little resistance. 26 minutes that first set last, and I walked out. I thought, I can't watch any more of this. Apart from, getting some free points on serve, which he can do with his height, there was no engagement in the rallies or any real commitment. And then we had the exchange with the chair umpire and claims that he had COVID and ridiculing the COVID protocols, which TA refuted later. It was more of the same, to be honest. I cannot see this guy ever. And it's more living up to his own expectations. I mean, he'd have to feel, he'd have to feel in a lonely corner at times, Bernie, but who knows what goes through his mind. But, I don't think the resurrection's there for me.
Some of us are approaching Novak Djokovic fatigue, I think it's fair to say. But the saga rolls on, BP. Before we let you go, so the Guardian's reporting that Liberal MPs are divided over whether the government should again cancel his visa. There's reports out of Melbourne Park that it's been a bit frosty and a bit awkward with his on-court rivals as he gets back into practice there. We just wait.
Well, there's some murmurings, Sam, going around today, and obviously the immigration minister's going to do this at his own pace. Getting to Wednesday, we're getting closer. You feel like some call needs to be made, but there are some murmurings that potentially they might try and strike a deal with Djokovic where they say, listen, depart this year and leave Australia, but we won't enforce the three-year ban, which they can do, obviously, when they revoke a visa. So there's some talk about that potentially. Certainly I think there's split views on the incorrect details of filling out the border form yesterday. That's not, in some people's eyes, the worst case scenario, that mistakes can happen. Some would look at that totally the opposite way. Yeah, there's a bit more to play out because even if the immigration minister says we're going to revoke your visa, I mean, this is going to go back to court. There's a lot more to play out still. Jeez. And whether he still plays the Australian Open, I think a call of the draw comes out tomorrow night. And the seedings have been placed yesterday, so there needs to be some call on this.
Gee whiz, we could have an almighty sting in the tail, which would be a huge story if they did cancel the visa, BP. We'll keep you close to hand, no doubt about that. Thanks to Yarra Tennis Coaching at Eaglemont Tennis Club. They've got junior and adult programs down there available. Check out yarratennis.com.au. Great to have you on, BP. Have a good day.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Josh.